When I was newly ordained and living in a rectory with other priests, there was on the wall of our dining room a needlepoint that had been gifted to the rectory. And it was a beautiful scene of the Last Supper along the top, but on the bottom, it had a phrase in Latin, ascende superior. Now, that term is what Jesus is saying in the gospel. Friend, come up higher. It was a constant reminder to us as clergy in that parish that although we had exalted titles like Reverend and Father and all of that sort of thing, that our primary calling was to be the servant of everyone else and to take the lowest place. That began a pattern even in my life, where actually I remember it more from my mother than I do from that particular context. Family, hold back. So when you go to a banquet, don't be the first one in line. Even though people will often want to honor you by saying, here, Father, you go first. But I remember my mother's voice in my head. And then I remember that particular phrase on that needlepoint, and I remind myself, no, I should be the last one to eat, to make sure that everyone else has enough. The family hold back thing was because I might need you in the kitchen, first of all. Secondly, it was to make sure that our guests ate, because then you might have to run for water for soup. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. But there's a truth in that that is important for us to learn about Christian discipleship. That in fact, Jesus calls us to be disciples. He calls us to share in his life and to be for the world the icon of Jesus. As Episcopalians, as Anglicans, we have a very heavy emphasis in our theology on what is called incarnational presence. That's why Christmas is such a big deal for us. We have more Christmas carols in our hymnal than just about any other kind of seasonal hymn. It's a long-standing tradition among people in the Anglican communion, the Anglican family of churches. Because we focus very keenly on this central truth of our faith, that Jesus came among us as one like us in all things but sin. So what happens now that Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, as we profess, he leaves us to be his presence in the world. It is for that reason that we call the church the body of Christ. So in a very real way, as Christ, the human Jesus, is an icon, is an image of the creator of the universe, and we can see God in the face of Jesus, so Jesus entrusts us with the wonderful role and task and mission to be the face of Jesus to the world, so that through us, people see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, people see the God who made them, who redeemed them, who loves them. Part of that image is this notion of hospitality. When we think of hospitality, we think immediately almost of the hotel industry. It's become big business in this world. But hospitality in the time of Jesus was a sacred thing. It was a sacred trust. It was something that was mandated by the Torah, by the law that observant Jewish people followed. Hospitality was something that was so important in that era and in that day and age, in that part of the world, that it could mean the difference between life and death. We see stories of that all through the Old Testament, and how the effort of hospitality is rewarded by tremendous blessing. So it is that Jesus is trying to teach us yet another level of hospitality. And that is not simply that we give someone something to sustain them out of our extra, but indeed we give them the first portion. We give them what we would take for ourselves, and we take their place. We take the lowest place. Jesus is very clear about that in the first part of today's gospel lesson. When he says, you know, the problem is very often that we kind of see ourselves with great dignity, which we ought to, because we are children of God. But you see, if you read that portion of the gospel carefully, the issue is about whether we humble or exalt ourselves, in other words, our own doing. If we exalt ourselves, that's the active part, we will be humbled. We will be, the other word is, that's used in English is humiliated, brought down. On the other hand, Jesus says, if your action is to humble yourselves, then you will, that's the active part, then you will be exalted. The one who is doing the humbling and the one who is doing the exalting in that, twin set of sayings is God. But it begins with us. It begins with our own attitudes. If we choose exaltation, then God will humble us. And if we choose to humble ourselves, then it is God who will reach down and exalt us. We see that again, as we've said before, in that wonderful hymn that is sung by Mary when she enters the home of Elizabeth. The mighty will be cast down, and he raises up the lowly. There is a great leveling going on in the kingdom of God. It is natural in the ways of the world to have hierarchies, to have places of honor and places of, well, just for everyday people. The question is, where do we place ourselves? That's what Jesus is asking us to consider. Then in the gospel lesson, he turns to his host. And he talks to him as well. He's saying, I'm not just talking to them to take the right place so that you can go and raise them up. When you give a banquet, he says, invite the people that can't repay you. Because that's the mark of true generosity. That's the mark of genuine hospitality. If you invite someone who will invite you in return, it's merely a transaction. It's a quid pro quo, that wonderful word that's been used so much in our political discourse these days. I give you something so that I get something in return. The love that Jesus shows us is not a quid pro quo. When we see how Jesus humbles himself, as St. Paul teaches us in his letter to the Philippians, to give up his entire life and to suffer even death, he says, death on a cross. There is no way that we can repay that. And so Jesus holds up for us that as a model that we need to conduct our lives in such a way that our generosity is heartfelt, it is genuine from the deepest sense of ourselves, but never expecting to get back because we have been generous. Oh, that's a preacher's gold mine when it comes to stewardship, isn't it? But that's not the point. The point is that Jesus is saying, this is the way of discipleship. This is the way you follow me. This is the way you treat others in the world. And when you do that, they will see you, and in you, they will see Jesus. Gifts are given freely. If we expect a gift in return, it's not a gift at all, is it? It's a transaction. It's interesting in our commercial life, when you listen to ads, someone says, oh, and you get a free gift. Well, if it's not free, it's not a gift. So too is it with our generosity. So too is it with our hospitality. So too is it with us as we encounter people in the world. We simply give to get. Then what merit is there in that, Jesus asks us. Rather, your hearts, to be a heart like mine, must be a heart humbled. Your hearts, to be a heart like mine, must be a heart generous. Your heart, to be a heart like mine, must be hospitable. Your heart, to be a heart like mine, must be full of selfless love. Oh, what a high call we have, and how difficult it is. But Jesus calls us nonetheless. The call is ever there. The challenge is always ours. All he asks us is to rise to the occasion. All he asks us to do is to fulfill that calling, that divine vocation. And if we determine in our heart of hearts that this is the path we want to walk, then the Spirit of God will be ours. The strength of God will be ours. The wisdom of God will be ours. And we will shine.